Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
105 in Edmonton, hour number two of Oilers Now, brought to you by Digitex. Digitex.ca, Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. Great conversation going on right now at 780-496-0063 on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. You can get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, open Monday to Saturday. Kyler Yamamoto's contract, 2 years, 3.1, an obvious bridge deal. I would say to you, the window's open right now for this team to compete for a Stanley Cup. We saw them get pretty darn far down the line last year. Can't wait to hear what Kyler has to say coming up after 1:30 about what the experience was like, what it's maybe changed, I guess, in terms of having your eyes open to either what it takes to compete at that level or whatever the case may be. That's sure to be an interesting conversation. You can call us as well on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort and Casino, excitement, bet on it. And we're on Twitter as well. Again, the show at Oilers Now, or myself at Brendan Escott. Momentarily, we'll hear from Ken Holland. He was on with Reed Wilkins last night on Inside Sports. But a couple more texts here first, 780-496-0063. Mark in St. Albert says, I think the core of talent that the team has right now makes them serious contenders to win the Stanley Cup. I think we see a rebound season by Puljujärvi, a strong goaltending tandem, and continued domination by McDavid, Draisaitl, and Evander Kane. I predict if we don't have significant injuries like we did this year in the playoffs, that we win the Cup this upcoming season. I think you should do a poll to see how many fans think that we would actually win the Stanley Cup this year. Again, from Mark in St. Albert. Well, it's never going to be easy in any year. And I'll tell you what, with a brand new starting goaltender and a turnover of the goaltending tandem, I think you're looking at things to really connect right away. But if they do, Mark, yeah, I think this team suddenly is built in a manner that complements the top end talent in a way that would allow them to really, really get over the top. Colorado's going to be a difficult team to get past the next couple of seasons. That was on full display, not only for your Oilers, but for everybody that they waxed on the way to the Stanley Cup, simply put. But you got to do what you can within your own sort of means to put the best fight in front of them. And I don't think that Ken Holland has done anything less than that. A couple more moves. If you missed the top of the show, what essentially this does contract-wise is it forces them now, with Ryan McLeod still needing a contract, to either move out, say, Warren Fogel, for example, his 2 years, $2.75 million. And I keep going back to Fogel because that's the name that comes up and makes the most sense. He just really didn't cement enough of himself as a player. If you're not going to score, you'd better be physical and hard to play against. And I think that Fogel had a hard time finding the happy middle ground there, and it was evident down the line. So is he the one that ends up being moved out? Well, if he is, in all likelihood, you're going to have to include some sort of a sweetener, a draft pick, for example. And then how would you feel about that? Well, if it gets Ryan McLeod signed and the way that he performed down the stretch last year, I don't feel too bad about that. Texter earlier asking whether Dylan Holloway may factor into things this year. I don't see any reason why he couldn't earn a spot in training camp. And if he does, and he's contributing on an entry-level contract, now we're talking, right? Now we've got a little bit of cap space and can bring in an even more impactful piece. So there's lots still left to be done, but the news today, of course, is 2 more years for Yamamoto. I guess it was yesterday evening's news, but here we are today. 2 years, $3.1 million for Yamamoto. Ken Holland last night on Inside Sports explaining the whole darn thing to Wilkie. Reed Wilkins talking about Puljujärvi, Yamamoto, Matthias Janmark as well.
Tell me a little bit about this process with Yamamoto, how important it is to get this done and avoid that arbitration hearing.
Reed, nice to be with you. We had a hearing here scheduled for Sunday and had to have our briefs in 48 hours in advance, which would be Friday. So obviously we were down, you know, basically tomorrow, and then had to submit briefs. So, you know, JP Berry, his agent, and us have worked at this over the last couple of weeks, and feel good that we were able to find a 2-year solution. You know, I think, you know, you never want to really go to an arbitration hearing, because in order to you know, try to win your case, you got to probably put things out there that you don't want to put out, and you know, it's a relationship business. So that's the last resort, the arbitration hearing, and fortunately we were able to find a solution to get Yamo done. And certainly he had 21 goals last year, and you know, took a step forward, and he's an important young player for us going forward. So feel good that we're able to get it done and avoid the arbitration hearing.
You know, one thing Jay Woodcroft said about Yamo this past season was that he's a popular request for a line mate from the other forwards, because he does so many of the detailed things well, and obviously he's so dogged and persistent when he comes to checking and get after the puck. I'm just wondering, you know, what you see from him and how you think he projects over these next couple of years.
I agree with Woody. You know, I would say to you, you know, first off, he's got hockey sense and hands, you know, so he's smart. He doesn't throw the puck away. You know, if you're a skill forward, we've got some skill forwards. You know, he hangs onto the puck. He can protect the puck, and he, you know, he can make plays. He forechecks. You know, so he gets in there, forces the other team's defenseman to make mistakes. He's relentless. He's persistent on the puck. You know, so, you know, certainly he gets pucks. He retrieves pucks. He gets pucks, and he, for his line mates, for himself and for his line mates. And when he does have the puck, he hangs onto the puck and doesn't turn it over. And you know, I thought that last year, you know, he went along and he had a real big March. I think he had eight of his 21 goals in the month of March. Obviously, it was an important time of the year when we were pushing, trying to push our way into a playoff spot. And then you know, he played good for us in the, you know, half a point a game in the playoffs. You know, with us going into the third round of the playoffs and playing three really good hockey teams. So, you know, I thought he made real progress this year. I'm hoping he can build on it, you know, kind of continue to be a 20 goal scorer and continue to do the things that he's doing that help us be a good hockey team.
You also avoided arbitration with Jesse Puljujärvi. You know, Ken, I know we've talked about this player a lot. It's been a journey for him with injuries and trade requests and coming back, and if I were to speak very generally, probably a pretty good first half to this past season, and then not quite as productive in the second half. You know, is there a commitment from the Oilers and from Puljujärvi and his camp that, you know, he's going to be on the team, or is something still brewing with him this summer? I just wonder if you can share anything there.
Oh, I don't have anything going right now, and we're pretty well, you know, at the cap. I think if you go to cap friendly, when you factor in Klefbom and Mike Smith on going on LTI, that we're pretty well spent. I will, you know, now there's, you know, once the arbitration process is over, you know, there's some players unsigned that are probably looking for opportunity, and there's going to be some good buys. So I'm going to explore the market for the good buys. So, you know, I would think for the most part I'm done. I think that for the next 2-3 weeks, everyone in the league kind of shuts down here pretty quick now in terms of business, you know, because everybody spent their money and they're looking forward to training camp. So I would anticipate that what we've got is what we're going to camp with. But, you know, I'll work the phones here once we get into September, you know, just to see what other teams are thinking. You're always looking for ways to make your team better. And, you know, in Jesse's case, obviously he got off to a great start, and then I thought he kind of lost his confidence, and there was a coaching change, his role changed a little bit. And I think that, you know, for most players in the NHL, confidence is such a big part of being successful. successful, and when you start to lose your swagger, your confidence a little bit, you know, you start to press, it gets harder and harder and harder, and then obviously your role starts to, you know, maybe your ice time decreases, and then it turns into a spiral. So I think, you know, probably part of the reason why we eventually settled on a 1 year contract with Jesse, you know, really hard to know. You know, obviously he's hoping he can bounce back and do over 80 games what he did over the first quarter of the season, and you know, certainly that's what we're hoping as well.
All right, and Ken, we haven't spoken since you added Matthias Janmark on a 1 year deal. Tell me a little bit about how he is going to fit in. I mean, is versatility a key for him, or how do you see him?
Yeah, I mean, funny. We drafted him in Detroit many, many years ago, and before he turned pro, I ended up trading him at the deadline to Jim Neal in Dallas to get a forward to try to go on a playoff run. So I sort of watched him pretty close. Obviously, being a Red Wing draft pick, you know, can play left wing and can play center. He's a forechecker. He gets in on the forecheck. He can play up your roster if you need him to be. I know that at Dallas for a year or two there, he played up the roster in the top six, and you know, it's because he pursues pucks and he back checks and he does lots of the trench work. But because of those same ingredients I've just talked about, he's good on the bottom six because he's you know, he can check, he works, he can play left wing, he can play center ice. So I think he's going to be a versatile player for us. And again, on a one-year deal at one and a quarter, I think that we've got a real motivated athlete that's looking for an opportunity to kind of, you know, have a really good year and get back to the marketplace, whether it's with us or with somebody else, and grow his salary. So I think that anytime you can get real motivated players on one-year deals, you know, there's the potential for, you know, that it's going to be a real plus for the for our hockey team. So I think between the motivation and the versatility, you know, and we're, you know, trying to be a little deeper as we go along, these are all the reasons why you sign up to a one-year deal.
There is Oilers general manager Ken Holland chatting with Reed Wilkins last night on Inside Sports. So a little bit there on Kyler, a little bit on Puljujärvi, and some more on the new Oiler, and that is Matthias Janmark. Now, I sort of wrote out the contracts here that Holland has signed with the team, and if you look at this offseason, you've got Evander Kane on a great price tag. If you ask around, I would think that five and some change, that's a pretty good value for arguably a 40-goal scorer. Then you look at Jack Campbell, and maybe it wasn't the first option to plug the hole in net, but he is a serviceable starting goaltender, and he's a step in the right direction. So there's another move. And Brett Kulak, you look back at last year, Tyson Barrie gets extended. I mean, Puljujärvi has been an ongoing case for Holland to manage, and he's been able to do that every step of the way. Zach Hyman needs no explanation. Cody Ceci exceeding expectations certainly down the stretch, and that was a deal that was much maligned by people in the first place. So when you look at the greater body of work that Holland has done, whether it's bringing in other players like Hyman or Kane to be impactful, or it's keeping players here that were already impactful in one way or another, he's done a pretty impressive job, if you ask me. And you don't want me to be the judge of that, fine. Let me know how you feel about it. 780-496-0063. When I look at this lineup for this upcoming season, I would think that this is a Western Conference contender. They would expect that of themselves. They have expected that of themselves, and those have been lofty expectations. And while the expectations, of course, do remain lofty in that end, you got to understand how much closer they are, at least on paper, than when we were having the conversation about how far the two superstars could will the team leading up. So I see the phone lines lighting up here. We'll take a quick pause on Oilers Now. When we come back, we should have some time for that. And then, of course, don't miss when Kyler Yamamoto joins the show live after the 12:30 news.
From
remember that our friends at Brentridge Ford, hey, they want you to know they're currently stocked up with some pre-owned Jeeps, a Honda CR-V, Toyota RAV4, got a Hyundai Santa Fe, and some options as well from Chevy, GMC, and Buick. Of course, they've also boast a selection of quality used Ford products for sale. Brentridge Ford is your Ford truck authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. Give Uncle Milt, Rich, or Johnny a call. 1-877-477-3673. And remember, cars cost less in Wetaskiwin. Brian, hanging on line number one. We'll bring you aboard. How's it going today, Brian?
Doing good, Brendan. How are you today?
Excellent, thank you. What are your thoughts on this Yamamoto contract?
Oh, I think it's a great deal. You know, the player is young. I think if we would have lost Yamamoto, you know, he's one of those players that every team loves to have on the team, but other teams hate. And he just set such an example, you know, with his tenacious forecheck. I mean, I don't know if you can count on even one hand how many Oiler forwards forecheck like him. And it must be the size of the dog in the fight, because he's an amazing little player.
Yeah, I completely agree, yeah. Brian. He's as far as he is one of those players who I think is able to drag some other players into the fight, and then he can score too, right? And he can score either by putting his nose to the grindstone and helping pull that puck out of the corner, going to the front of the net. But his shot at the start of last season, maybe not the greatest. I thought that he did a lot of work on that moving forward here. So, you know, an integral piece to keep as a part of the team.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, he's it would be nice to see a player like Puljujärvi, and I think it's going to happen, but you know, he's just got I feel for the guy. He's going to find his game. You know, who knows when and if it'll happen while he's an Oiler, but definitely you know, you can see he's a very different player than Yamamoto, but a guy that they, you know, if he can play into his body, he's going to be a heck of a player. And you know, it's just a matter of time. But I'm kind of glad to see both of them. But I think one of them is probably going to go. I think if they're going to be going to the Stanley Cup, whether it's this year or next year, I could see a package or you know, maybe one of them going, and maybe Puljujärvi. Who knows right now, but. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Brian. Listen, I think that ultimately, like I said before, you don't want to ship out a guy like Puljujärvi when the market value is what it is right now. We know that the market value isn't high because there was an effort made on free agency day to try and flip him. And I don't think the deal came to fruition because it would have had to require Edmonton acquiring an asset for Puljujärvi, and that kind of dissolved. So, you know, can they move forward with both of these players? Yes. Can they move past Colorado with their top two right wingers being Puljujärvi and Yamamoto? That I'm not 100% sure about. If Puljujärvi can somehow finish more of the opportunities that he found himself set up for, then we're talking about a genuine 25-goal-a-year player. And now we're just worried about rounding out the game. We've also been worried about rounding out this game for the last 5 years. And when I see the kinds of mistakes that were being made at the time of year that they were being made, I wonder whether the stage may ultimately just be a little too big in this market for a player like Puljujärvi. The constant deferring to the line mates and the panic with the puck on the stick at times, that to me isn't going to lead you where you need to be led. So if you can find somebody else for $3 million that can score 20 goals and contribute in a more well-rounded sense, great. If you can develop somehow, this is a year where Puljujärvi, for all of those net front chances that he plowed right into the crest of the goaltender, if he finds Twine on a couple more of those, he's a lot easier to move, but maybe a lot more difficult of a decision in whether or not you actually want to move the player. Bottom line is, again, you've got to tip your cap to Ken Holland, not only for what he did in years past to keep this player engaged with the organization, but even still this offseason amid a trade request, another one to get him signed to a team-friendly deal, but a friendly enough deal that other teams might be willing to take it on. So do we see this happen before the season starts? I really would be surprised if we see Puljujärvi move before the season starts. I think they're going to let him play it out and, again, try and elevate his value. Has a better start to the season than he did a finish to last year's, and maybe some other teams are interested again. We'll see. Time will tell. Time for a Global News weather traffic update with Evan Cook. When we come back, some more time for you, a couple more minutes anyway, 780-496-0063, and then we'll bring aboard Kyler Yamamoto to tell you all about the two-year contract extension. It's Brendan Escott in for Bob Stauffer this week on Oilers Now.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.